And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear. No fear here on Declare Your Independence. I'm here in Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA Beautiful Studios of Freedoms of the Nest. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Oh, yeah, you guys always got to remember that. See, if you sing it, you never forget it. No. And who we have in studio, we got Larkin Rose in, and Amanda Washwitz is sitting in also. We're going to be talking to Larkin Rose about doing his Candles in the Dark event over the next couple of days. Tomorrow night, we're going to have a party here. Starts at 6 o'clock. The event will be done by, 4 or so or something. And we'll come over here and we'd be part A. But we're not going to be able to go really, really, really late, like the 2 in the morning thing. So all of you guys, you know who you are. Get your butt to bed because you got to get up early Sunday morning to go to Candles in the Dark Part 2. Or at least I do. And I mean, get the hell out of my, because I'm tired. So we're going to party hard. So if we're going to only do it in 5 or 6 hours instead of 8, we just party harder. So it's okay. So we're going to do that Saturday night. Everybody's welcome to come to that. But if you're wanting to just, visit with Larkin Rose and pull them off for the 10 minutes and you didn't pay the $115 to go to slip them a 10 anyway. Say, hey, it's 10 bucks. Hey, shake my hand. I get to talk to you for 5 minutes for 10 bucks. Because that's my plan. That's why I say. All right. So we're going to be talking to Larkin. Say good morning, Larkin.
Good morning, Larkin.
I knew you'd do that. Okay. Now, what we're going to get tomorrow, we don't have to, expose everything so that they don't go. But, 2 days of Larkin Rose, man. I don't know. That sounds like that's cult training, man.
It's a heavy dose. It's something that I don't talk that much about in public, and most people don't know that much about, because it isn't nearly as much about the philosophy and the concepts of voluntarism and self-ownership and all that. Those are pretty dang simple. Most voluntarists and anarchists already know that. However, while knowing that, they're also usually fairly bad at communicating that to other people, not because they don't understand the issues, but because they don't take into account human psychology and all the weird things the human mind does when it's faced with cognitive dissonance, when it's faced with something that messes with people's paradigm. And so we've all experienced, the state is freaking out and being irrational, emotional. And so many anarchists just give up and say, I tried, I explained it, but they just freaked out and ran away. There are ways to make them not freak out and run away, but most of them are very counterintuitive. If you just
is it at an individual level, between people, or is it Edward Bernays mass marketing kind of get everybody think that way?
No, this is exactly tailored for anarchists talking one on one to people they know, friends, coworkers, family members, whatever, in the most effective way possible. It's not about how do you write a book, how do you make a YouTube video or any of that. It's how do you connect with a human being, because deep down inside, everybody already is an anarchist. They just don't know it. And so the goal should be not to bludgeon them over the head with your belief system, but basically to free their inner anarchist that's already there. But you have to not set off all their weird emotional psychological things in the process, or they will just cling tighter to the bogus beliefs.
What is the psychology that we're dealing with, though? See, the thing is that I've had that feeling, as well myself. I'd be going like, everybody is libertarian. They just don't know it yet. Yeah, they explain to them right, or if they get the experience, you kind of da-da-da-da-da. And then I have older activists, they go, no, they're not. Not everybody is. And I'm going, they just haven't really examined their own self-interest yet, yada, yada, yada. But I'm going, on the masses, it seems like if you just make yourself available, there are a certain type of people that will be attracted. They'll go, yeah, yeah, that. Well, all the other guys, I'm like, how much effort do you want to put in? Well, yeah, some guys will divorce your family, you know, and you're right. Done. You know, you and a bunch of other lonely people can just spend Thanksgiving together, right. You know, and right. Exchange, you know, white elephant gifts. And but some people, they're very family oriented. They're not going to leave their family. They love their family. They're just, you know, wrong. And the family doesn't want them back at next Thanksgiving.
Right.
Or your aunt or mom takes you to the side and says, no, you're not allowed to talk religion, especially politics.
You know? Especially politics, right.
Especially politics. So this is going to be on these one-on-one family interactions, friends, coworkers, that if you put one more election cycle, if you go 2 years or 4 years, or you spend time, which has happened to me, as time goes on, all of a sudden they'll come at 5 years later and go, hey, Ernie, did you hear about and see and
right.
Know and kind of go, wow, yep. Really? Yeah, you came to that all on your own? Not really.
What a coincidence.
Right. You know, not really. But they didn't perceive, they knew you would be supportive of it,
right.
That information, but they didn't perceive that you were going to say, I told you so.
Right. And that's the thing is, you can't force somebody to change their mind. You can invite them to, you can give them every opportunity to, but it takes time for someone's view of reality to change. And so one of the biggest pitfalls that anarchists, you know, go through constantly is being impatient. Like, we slowly go through the process of giving up statism, and then we want to just bludgeon somebody else over the head and expect them to change in 10 minutes. And then we get frustrated, and we get overzealous, and then they get defensive, and then they cling tighter to what they already believed, and it goes into this cycle that doesn't do any good. And that can be changed if the voluntary is change the way they talk and the way they think, instead of, you know, you push too hard and you just make it worse. And, you know, I think we've all experienced that. If I just, you know, I've explained it to them over and over again, it's 2 + 2 = 4. It's so simple. How could they not get it? And then everybody gets mad and annoyed and it doesn't accomplish anything. And yeah, maybe years later, they'll say, well, I sort of thought about that. It doesn't have to be that slow and awkward and confrontational.
Okay, how fast can it be?
Well, it's different. It depends a lot on how many layers of authoritarian garbage are on top of somebody's inner goodness, for lack of a better term. Because deep down inside, everyone is an anarchist, but they have piled on top of that.
But why would you say that? Before we go even further, why would you say...
Because, for example, if you take a bunch of people and put them on an island and they weren't raised authoritarian, nobody is going to say, gee, the first thing we have to do is pick one of us who gets to violently dominate the rest of us. Nobody would ever come up with that on their own. They might say, well, that guy knows what he's doing, so let's sort of do what he suggests or anything else. But the mythology that people believe, nobody would get to that on their own. What they would get to on their own, like the sociopaths might say, well, I'll beat you up and steal your stuff if you give me a chance. But nobody would get to the notion that I'm beholden to this other guy over here because of pieces of paper and stuff. They have to be taught that lie. So we have to distinguish between the person's natural goodness and rationality, and then the stuff they were taught on top of that that gets in the way.
So what is it? You got to get them to want to know new information, or just the new information is not enough? I mean, I watch TV. I know what I'm supposed to do. It says I'm just a bill.
It's not even new information. It's removing old information. Like, I don't have to bludgeon my beliefs into anybody by way of questioning. I can show them that they have to choose between two of their beliefs that don't match, and mine don't even enter into it. They have to choose between what they really believe in and their underlying moral code, and on the other hand, the authoritarian indoctrination they were put through.
Yeah, see, that's one thing that you're doing on this, and it's interesting to see what the impact's going to be, because it's like, well, what do you believe would be the right and wrong of this?
Right.
Okay, well, I believe that, you know, walking up people just slapping them on the side of the head, you know, is probably not a good idea. But if the police do it, you know,
right, exactly.
So you're kind of challenging some, you know, premise that they have, and then what? You explain it.
And then using their belief system to show that government can't be legitimate.
How do you know what the hell they believe? I mean,
By asking.
Both. They say, I agree that I'm a state of standards.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Lark and Rose! And Amanda... No, I want to make sure you...
Pronounce it right. Rockwitz.
Yeah. Rockwitz.
That's better.
Rockwitz. Okay. Well, we're going to, starting tomorrow, we got, we have a lot of activists here. They have a lot of supplies. So we made sure that we had to get a place. I mean, it costs money to have a place, like parking lot and stuff, and meeting rooms and everything. It's a nice hotel here in North Phoenix. So we're going to have a nice space to do this. We're going to have catered lunches. There's going to be a lunch buffet, Big Sam meals. I go and negotiate all this stuff. I already know what I want. We did it at the last one before, and I'm like, I want to have this kind of meat and this kind of croissant and the kind of little and coffee, and we got to have water on the table all the time. The contract, and we're done. Now we got a nice place to meet. We got a sound system. Now Larkin does not want it to be televised, streamed, recorded, put up on the. Tell me about that.
Well, a couple things. First of all, most of the important part is the interactive part. I want the crowds to be small enough that there's time for a bunch of individual interaction and stuff. When I do the second one out in Redlands, I'm probably going to record the first two segments and post them as videos. But if you want the rest, you got to find a way to get there. And the thing is, as soon as something exists in the digital realm, it's all over the place.
And
people,
it's gone.
Yeah, it's out there. It's all over the place. And then it makes it even harder to be worth doing these. One of the things that we're doing in the last segment is actually the attendees can invite in a statist that they know, family, friend, whatever. And we pay the statist $50 for 15 minutes of the person trying out, a very mini version of a person trying out some of what they learned over the weekend.
Can I give you $50 or let me beat up on you in front of people?
Well, except if they beat up on them, they're doing it wrong. As much as I like to do that, that isn't what this is about.
Is interesting that you would make this transition into, because your history is truth-seeking conservative of taxes and the law says, and now I'm in jail, okay?
Right.
Because I said, no, it says right here, and they go, oh, yeah, well, we say this gun says you're going in that cell. That's what we say, So you come to that realization that then you write your books and you're advocating on, you're sitting in front of your rock, your tree, or whatever, wherever you're at, and people come and talk to you. And then you do your YouTubes and such, and it's like, I'm going to write a book and another book. And the most dangerous superstition is what?
The belief in authority.
So that, other than your own, I guess, but I'm the power of this message, you wanted to put it into software so you could replicate yourself.
Right.
And this is kind of like a live version of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So explain, what your experience has been as you've been doing these presentations to people, what you learned, how you wanted to, I had this such a good impact on people. But, man, you know, I'm not Jimmy Falwell getting a stadium full of people at a time. We need to do the DVD series or something.
Right, right, because understanding the issues, I mean, you can go back hundreds of years, and there's these brilliant minds writing these great treatises on it, and still only a tiny percentage of the population ever heard about it or embraced it, because understanding it does not equate to being able to actually communicate it to other people. And so that's the step that has to happen next. And I did something similar. I think you were going to mention the thing about what I did in Escaping the Myth, where I would try experiments with groups of statists and do little psychological exercises. We're going to...
Yeah. Well,
all right, wait a minute, I got to hit your mic here. Go ahead.
Oh, you got it? Okay. And the thing I was going to say earlier when you were talking about how most people are anarchists naturally... and they don't know it yet. And, you know, you're speaking from experience because your whole island experiment that you do with people is where you actually are working with a room full of people. You do an experiment where they are on an island and you give them a bunch of scenarios of how living together is going to work or how it might, problems or conflicts that might come up. And in a room full of statists, all of their solutions on that island end up being anarchist solutions. And it doesn't occur... you know, to any of them to think, oh, this guy on the island kind of, he stole from someone, he did something wrong. Well, we should have one guy that forces all of us to pay for his room and board for several years. That's the solution that we came up with to punish this guy who stole from us.
Right.
Nobody comes up with that.
Right.
And it's fun because the...
Switch to this one?
Yeah.
Is that better? Okay.
It's much better. Yeah, and the whole thing of they, we go through these things, and we'll do it in detail for hours. I'll go, you know, okay, now somebody got caught stealing fish, and what do you do about it? And we do it for hours, and it's only at the very end that I point out, none of you ever suggested a status solution, every single one. Even people who have different ideas and different approaches and different priorities, every single suggestion was anarchistic. Nobody suggested, let's have a violent ruling class. In response to anything, whether, you know, somebody's in need of help or there's somebody running around trying to kill people. And so it does demonstrate that people are inherently anarchists, except for the indoctrination that was piled on top of that.
And do you go into that, like where it came from, what the history, who, where you manifested in school of whatever? I mean, I'm wondering, you know, I'm sure Larkin can fill up 2 days. I mean, I can fill it up. I mean, blah, 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 blah. I can do a filibuster on your brain, you know, but 2 days, man, of this. This is going to... Hold on, Amanda. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This is an interaction where, unlike a lot of Larkin stuff where it's, more pedagogical, he's just talking at a crowd. The whole point of the seminar, too, is that you're paying for a more... intimate interaction with Larkin, so he's going to encourage the group the entire 2 days to interrupt with questions. It's going to be a little bit more discussion style in this seminar than probably a lot of other things that he has done.
Okay, now that's one reason why Larkin wanted to keep the size down and kind of classroom thing, you know, 30, 100. When you start getting up to 100, it's like, and you're probably going to be what? At least 50, 60, 70, 100, whatever.
Right.
Turns up you already got registered. And then, of course, there's a lot of people going to be there because they don't want to be on the list. I don't want to be on the list. I'll just show up and park down the street and walk up with a hoodie. But anyway, so you go to this thing, and I'm looking at what you're going to get out of it. When you come away from this, you're going to be a more effective persuader towards what?
Basically far better at communicating what you already believe to other people. And the thing is, most people sort of think that describing what they think is all you can do. And they don't understand that you're basically speaking a foreign language to the rest of the world and then wondering why they don't understand you and they respond irrationally.
Okay, when we come back, I want to dwell on that a little bit because, you know, you'd think that you could always persuade anybody. But are there personality traits that it's just not going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, and you go, and I'm not wasting my time.
Yep, that's
it. And the mirror sends you over into this, you know,
into
an evil face devil thing comes out and says, you know, we have tagged your email and we know who you are and we're staying away from you.
Almost.
You know, we'll find out when we come back here on Declare Your Independence. with Larkin Rose and Amanda Rockwitz. Did I say that right? Rockwitz. Close enough. All right, we'll be right back.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, baby. You don't sing on your videos? All right, here we go. Here we go. Ready? Okay. The people are like, no, don't do it. Hey, he didn't do it, damn it.
Hey, if people search online, they can find a couple songs where I actually sing. One is called Think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. YouTube.
You also did You Gotta Vote, which was hilarious.
That was slightly less serious.
It was less serious, yeah, but I mean, it is almost singing.
And I Love My Country.
Yeah, you did. Cowboy Clyde. I Love My Country. You sound like a redneck in that one.
You know, I forgot that. Yeah, your family was playing.
I got skills.
Yeah, you're out there guitaring and everything.
Yeah.
You know? All right. See, you got multimedia attack of we're going to kick your ass. All right. So the Mirror Project, tell us where we're at on that. We've been supportive of that from the beginning. You know, tell us how that's going.
The two huge pieces of that are basically the gigantic script, the interactive script, where it goes depends on how they answered the last question. It's not finished, but it's now finite. It's now broken down to the individual pieces that the modules, I don't even know what to call it. I don't even know how to explain what, what it is. There's still a lot of animating and building the 3D sets to be done. And that takes a ton of work and
nowhere near the top yet, but now the mountain has a top instead of looking like it goes on forever.
Right. Yeah. Now the mountain is actually finite and I can see the whole script. And like, it's sort of like if you're building a car, now we have all the general pieces. We still have to work on the little details of this, that, and the other thing. But for a long time, I kept adding new pieces as fast as I was getting stuff done. So the finish line was running away. I think the finish line has stopped. So now it's finite.
Okay, now this ability for you to do this animation, that was one of the things in your presentation of what you're trying to do was, you know, software you had to learn. Yeah. That's one thing that we, in the 90s, when we were activists, we were all like, man, we need a graphic illustrator. Mm-hmm. We need a Scott Beezer. We need a Davy Barker. We need a, well, they weren't there. And they sure as heck weren't liberty oriented. I'm not doing that. I mean, right.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we got graphics. Then the Levolution happened, and it's like, we had graphics, you know?
Right.
And I'm going, damn, there'd be some graphics. All you got to do is create a page of put graphics here, and damn. So, you know, we're working on that, too. So I'm going, all right, animation. We have the same need now. We have the same people doing the same stuff, creating these 3D files. Like, you're working on the Precariat.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to make that three. Yeah, when's that going to be done? I thought it was going to be done. It's not done.
I hope to be done by now. That isn't even all that huge a project, but it's one of those things where you have to build all the details in three dimensions. You're basically...
Oh, I'm sorry. You confused me. Somebody cares. You know?
But the cool thing is... the cool thing is what you'll care about. The cool thing is once it's done, you can do anything with it. You can put it over live video or behind live video.
You know, you can't do anything with something that's not done. I just want you to know that. You know?
Yes, I'm aware of it.
So, yeah, you know, so Larkin's working. I appreciate, you know, we'll get it taken care of. I just want to get him committed on tape, you know, freaking
I'll
get her done.
But
it's to have that ability to be able to 3D render two-dimensional items or making, you know, then you can 3D print them. You can scale it. You can do whatever. You can have Chinese make, you know, freaking key rings out of it, you know, whatever.
Yep.
So once you do that, you can start playing. But it also is important to me because it gives me the displacement.
Uh-huh.
It tells me how much volume the item has.
Right.
Because it's just a complicated thing. You do this 3D thing. Then we can start doing how big does it have to be to have the buoyancy that we want and the lifting capacity. Because this thing's huge.
Right.
It's like a, you know, Empire State Building, you know, lots in thing.
Flying Empire State Building.
Yeah. Put wings on it.
I know from working around you and then watching how the animation works a lot in Blender and things like that, and then from you sharing, you know, your frustrations and your struggles as you're trying to do projects that are related to animation, you did sort of teach me a little bit about when you're talking about the Precariat and trying to do the you know, put this into something 3D. You were talking about how so many times people don't understand, they don't understand how animation or how making something
you
in
mean
3D
how much
works.
Work it is
and how yeah what a
oh I'm sorry
what a giant
do I look like I care
what a giant oh, pile of work sympathy. It is but the fact that some things geometrically can't just easily be converted into 3D, and you actually explained that to me,
right,
which I didn't understand before, and you said this ship is tricky because it doesn't it's not in a form that can be easily
yeah.
converted
well, the,
into 3D.
The rest of the ship is fairly easy, but the thing on the front, I have yeah. to do some tricks because, yeah, geometrically, it's actually impossible to make that into a 3D skull
it's a
without
skull
doing
face,
some tricks.
You know? Yeah. And he's like, can I? No. But that, you know, there's some, yeah, we get the there, general
yeah,
idea.
I'm,
the face
I'm
on is not even the same too. As the pins or, you know, you can do what yeah. you got to do.
But
the point
work.
Is, you know, I tell you the biggest pushback I got on that. Oh, you're having a glass face as it's traveling through, and kind of I'm going, well, yeah. The silicon nitride, you know, it's the second transparent right below diamonds.
Right.
It's transparent titanium. I mean, you know, it's a, you know, doesn't your spaceship have that? You know, so that's one of the things. And the whole point of this is learning this kind of stuff and doing the 3D. That's awesome. Well, in the Blender is the software that you're using to make your mirror thing.
Right.
The reason this technology, this ability came up was that you thought that you had to make it interactive like a game. You're like a Dragon's Lair,
right.
you know, or whatever it was, and you make choices and things happen. But that once you start down that, it's like playing chess, man. It's like a gabillion different combinations of something.
Yep.
So, I mean,
I know.
So I'm wondering if you do this, there has to be, I mean, you set a base loop back to, okay, you said this about that, has to remember things.
Yep.
It has to, you know, it could leave a place with a encrypted key of, you know, where you left off. You can start back up
yep.
again because you're one of those stupid people that said 20 minutes takes you 2 years. And, you know, so you go through this thing. How many combinations could there be?
Oh, a zillion.
I mean, you figured,
or so.
Yeah, I mean, if you figured it out, it's like.
It mostly remembers the answers to certain important questions, and a lot of the in between questions are just to get to the ones that matter. But it does all sorts of tricky stuff, like when you decide to leave, whether it's for 5 minutes or a year or something, it gives you a number. And when you come back, you don't have to come back to the same computer. You can come back anywhere. That number tells the program where you were and what all the relevant past answers were, even if it's on a completely different computer that isn't attached to anything.
Very cool.
And so it picks
up
where you left
off. Is it identifying? I mean,
nope.
No, it's just you got your number.
No, so it knows nothing about you. It's completely anonymous. It's you just have the number, and you put it in on any computer that has it, and it'll pick up right where you left off and remember your
past answers. Yeah, and how much of a computer coding geek are you? You just go, can we, you know, this is how I did it when we started freezing. I go, can you do this to this to this to this and make it that? And well, yeah, but you had, but I was there going to be a test. I don't care. Can't, you either can or you can't, all right? Yes, you can. So you just dove in. Yes, I can. Well, how do you know to do, who's helping you with the coding of whatever?
They're just things I happened to learn along the way because my dad taught computer programming before most people knew what a computer was. And learning stuff about numbers and mathematics and stuff, the fact that if you break a normal number, like the way we write them, if you break them down to binaries, they hold a whole lot more information than just the number of digits in front of you. Because you break it down to zeros and ones, and you're holding more information than, like, if you have a six-digit number.
You.
You can.
All right.
I figured it out.
Yeah, I've hung out with this guy a lot, and I have to say that one of the things I learned about him real quick was that he's, you know, I mean, can thank modern American schooling for this, but you're way ahead of most people when it comes to, like, you know, physics and geometry and then computer animation and then just sort of the innovative mind and the creative mind and then putting things together. It's amazing to watch even your own learning curve. So when you start off a little ignorant about something, you know, most people, it's like they would put in a couple years before they would get to where you get in like 2 months. And your work ethic is insane. This guy never stops. He doesn't know what a break is. He was not kidding when he said that on Facebook.
Head down, plow.
Yep.
Head down, plow. Just, you know, head down, plow.
Charge ahead.
Do a little bit and then do a little bit more. And all of a sudden it's done. It may take years, you know, but We'll get the precariat one of these days. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The mirror. You know, this is, I'm looking forward to having this done because I know what a useful tool it would be. It's kind of like you send the animation philosophy of liberty and the mirror, and you're done. And we're done.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollars being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Here it goes. Okay. Okay, that didn't work that well. We won't do that one anymore. That was a bad idea. Yeah, but they can do it. All right, that's enough. You know, the thing is, you know, when I first started doing radio, I would sing. I'd get Boston come in, I'd do it, and the board op would be going, "You can't sing."
Stop that.
And I go, "Yeah, I can." He goes, "No, you can't sing."
Make some sort of noise.
You can, maybe you shouldn't.
you're not allowed. Well, they were trying to go, the talk radio, there's no talk show host that sing. You're not allowed to do that. And I'm going, "Oh, really? There's a rule." Okay, yeah. Well, guess what happens now, because you got a rule. All right, now, the software that you have that you're using on the mirror provides the opportunity for you to just keep asking questions and keep drilling down on what their positions are. But this comes from experience of you being out doing it. Because right. I remember us, you know, sitting under the tree there at Agora Alley, you know, one time when you first had come up with this concept. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, "My man, let's do it. Rock and roll. Waiting on you now." So, you know, it's like, go learn, get a PhD and all this stuff and freaking let's do it. You know, it's called YouTube, man. You'll figure it out. Right. So you actually did it. I mean, you're putting it together. People have been supportive. You got, you know, financial support. You're getting things going. But it's from these kinds of seminars that you're doing tomorrow and Sunday of what this was born. If you want to see the live action version and see or even add into this or help with the development of, you participate by going.
Right.
And it's going to be what? They're going to come out of this drained mentally, physically, like they had to pee their pants or something, or what?
Hopefully not.
I'll let them go to the bathroom. It really is like, you know, it's sort of a college course crashed into 2 days, but it's about learning techniques that don't just come naturally to people. It's something you have to learn and pay attention to. You can make it become second nature, but it's not what people naturally do. But you can see that what people naturally do.
Get up closer to the microphone so I can turn this down.
When you can see that what people naturally do most of the time doesn't work, because what people naturally do is they just sit there and they pontificate about what they believe. And it bounces off of most people's brains because they can't relate, and because it's disturbing to think about, and it clashes with what they've always been taught and what they've always believed. There are ways to get around that, and that's what Candles in the Dark teaches, is how to actually connect with the person, basically how to sneak past all the weird emotional stuff that's been programmed into
how
them.
How to break the ground to plant the seed.
Absolutely, absolutely, and water it occasionally.
Without breaking them their head.
Right, and without making them break
and
your
make,
head.
And, yeah, exactly, and making it the Thanksgiving dinner the next year.
Right,
this exactly. is the one thing that I, you know, give your opinion on this. When I talk to these a lot of young people, and we start, you know, I've been doing this for a while, as have you, and they're, we got to go get some. You know, and I'm going, whoa, pace yourself.
Right.
This is a long-term thing. And I encourage them to be such a good act and a good example and a good little whatever, you know, so that they aren't disinvited to the next year's Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
Right.
And that is like almost a source of pride. Yeah, I got thrown out of my man. Ooh, I did everything that Larkin said not do, you know? Right. So I'm wondering the goal of maintaining family or being just being the good guy that everybody's yelling at. You just got to have the confidence to just take it and know that it's your that audience of that 9-year-old that all of a sudden is now 13 is going, hey, man, what Uncle What's-His-Face said is right on. You know, screw the rest of these guys.
Right.
So is that your goal? I mean, is they keep in the family or separate or identify? Yeah. I mean, what are you looking to
do? It's not at all about separating. It's about actually being able to connect with people and actually share. Because, you know, if you're a voluntarist, A, you understand how important it is for people to give up their statism because there's, like, mass murder going on as a result of it. But B, you also know how frustrating it is to try to talk to people. And so most people end up just making rifts and getting into arguments and stuff. And it doesn't have to be that way. And so the first thing that Candles in the Dark focuses on is basically self-examination by the voluntarist to decide what are you actually trying to accomplish? What are your goals? Is it just to be right and scream at somebody and have an argument?
Yes, damn it.
Or is it to actually invite other people to know what you know? And that,
but then they'd be as smart as me.
Yeah, and that's the thing is a lot of people like the argument. They just want to have a fight. And if you just want to have a fight,
I'm right and you're wrong.
Right. That doesn't do anything. So, but if you actually want the other people in your life to understand what the hell you're talking about and to agree and embrace it, it is possible. But you have to change your mentality and your outlook.
Well, what is
it
that you found that was so enlightening at the time when you were advocating for this? I remember you. I've been around. I can do it. I can fix their cognitive dissonance. I can, you know, kind of wipe and kind of clean slate them, and they're off in their own critical thinking individual person owns himself. But I have to go through yada 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 yada, and I doing 16 at a time or 20 at a time or one at a time ain't cutting it. We need to be able to mass this
right.
out. You know, get on the production line.
Have it reproducible.
But how? I mean, what? What is it that you learned that you're putting into this program?
Well, this is based on over 20 years of, because that's how long I've been an anarchist, of talking to statists, whether it's one-on-one or one-on-ten or in whatever setting, in whatever forum, and accidentally learning so much about their psychology that had nothing to do with the philosophy, but has everything to do with whether they're capable of hearing and understanding the philosophy, even though it's logically irrelevant. And so it really, you know, it almost is like, well, you can explain your whole position, but you didn't start with Simon Says, so they didn't hear any of it.
Okay, now this is the one thing. There was some of the young kids here with Adam. They were all on this a couple weeks ago. You know, Myers-Briggs. We're going to do a whole show. Dr. Tamburi used to teach classes on Myers-Briggs personality testing of whatever.
Uh-huh.
As they go through all this stuff, and I'm going, yeah, I can see the yeah, you can classify people different. It's where they start from.
Right.
So how are you classifying where somebody's started from? Are you just lumping everybody in that they just all need to learn these techniques regardless? Or
The voluntarist, based on who they're talking to, has to find the common ground and basically find the goodness, the part of the status that wants peace and freedom and all that,
assuming,
and bring that out of them. And, you know, every once in a while you get someone who's such a psycho that, yeah, you figure out pretty early on, don't even
so
bother
to
move on.
So you're coming from the basis that not everybody's got, you know, a mental disorder.
Yeah, and part of it, you know, one of the things in Candles in the Dark is know when to step away temporarily and know when to step away permanently from bothering to talk to somebody. And they're two different criteria. One is sometimes in the middle of a discussion, you'll realize I'm just making it worse by trying to talk to him more. I'll just back off and try again later. And other times with people, you'll just realize this is not worth the effort. It's, you know, it's like talking to a rock. I give up. The thing is, if people do that as soon as somebody disagrees and doesn't listen to them, they give up almost always. And that does not need to happen. Because if people approach it with a different attitude in their head in a different way that they talk, they will see. And again, I base this on 20 years of experience. They will see, holy smokes, the people respond completely differently, even though the concepts I'm saying are exactly the same as what I said last week. But the way I approached it and the way I talked to this other person, the way I viewed the other person made a complete, you know, differences day and night in how they respond, even though you know, what the actual principles are simple, and I'm saying the same thing.
Yeah, but how much investment and time do they got to put? I'll give you an example. Thanksgiving dinner, you know, is always a perfect example. The family comes together. You go, don't ask him any questions. Never ask. You're like my sons, their friends would be over, and they go, well, Mr. Hancock, what do you think about? And all of a sudden, I see these two bodies going over the coffee table, and my son's landing on them, just punching the crap out of him in the arm, saying, I told you, you never ask my dad a question, you know? And so, but as they get older and the Lovolution starts, I see them at ASU, all these kids, hey, yeah. They go, ah, see you got. But I had years. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, from the times they were junior high, I grew up with these, you know, these. I watched these kids grow up with my sons and so on. And they went to a private school that was, you know, Zieg Heil of whatever. They were, you know, a bunch of W bumper stickers in the parking lot. You know, that kind of thing. And they knew that I was libertarian activist, ran, and like, so they'd ask all these questions. Well, by the time they hit college and the Lovolution starts and everything, they already knew all this stuff. They're in. Their Facebooks were doing it up. But it was itty bitty little bit at a time.
Yep. And it still will be, but it can be a lot faster than years and years.
Okay, so that's what we're gonna go into an after show. You go to freedomsphoenix.com, top left, you can see the video streaming that's there, and audio. You just, you know, continue to watch it, because I want to dwell on this one point. You know, can you or even should you do it in one holiday dinner? You know, the whole family. I mean, how are you going to, you know, or do you just pass out links, you know, little QR code cards, whatever, go to code and watch the mirror and kind of take 20 minutes if you're a good guy, or 3 days if you're a freaking moron, you know, statist or whatever. But what about little bit of doses over time? Parents, grandparents, can you stretch it out? Should you stretch it out? Larkin, Rose, and Amanda, when we come back. All right, there we go. I wanted to, that's the point that I want to get to,
right,
is that they got to do it all in one sitting. And I think it's like guys like, you know, local here, you know, really they get excited, and, you know, comes to mind is like Mike Basic, okay? Mm-hmm. He's one of your fans, I'm sure.
Yeah,
and you know, Mike comes up and you turn him on somebody. When I first met him and everything, it's like a Memorex commercial. You know, his hair's blown back. The people, you know, their eyes are wide open.
I love Mike when he does that exactly on everything he's passionate about. That's exactly what he does.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's good to have these guys, but they need some technique, man. Chill for a second.
I know.
Take a breath, you know, let them remember what the hell you just said, you know. So this is the point that I'm hoping that this would be a technique for these people that are so passionate and can be such a resource.
Yeah.
And are the ones that really move and shake things. They're just not getting invited to the Christmas dinner.
Right. Ironically, it's a drawback that they care that much and are that passionate, because they go into what I call evangelical mode.
Evangelical.
And it scares other people off. And that's a main focus of Candles in the Dark. Is
not to be Reverend Anarchy.
Right.
Right.
One of the things I say is more shrink, less preacher. Ask them what they believe. Lead them to their contradictions by way of talking about what they believe, instead of just bludgeoning them over the head with what you believe. And it's difficult, because when we really care about it and we know how important it is, it's tempting to want to bludgeon them over the head with it, but it doesn't work.
One of the things you mentioned is that it's important to realize, one of the things you start off with is addressing what the goal is, but one of the things you mentioned is that the goal is absolutely not to convince everybody the first time you're talking to them.
To win!
Yeah, right.
It's not to win.
I think if people are like, hoping they're going to get some cool knowledge tools that they can then go back out and like feel superior with and get on their logic soapbox with, they would be disappointed with Candles in the Dark, because it's actually a humble approach.
Right.
It's more about right. the empathy for the other person, because, yeah, we don't actually want to section
yeah,
ourselves
I've
off.
Seen this before. It was very successful. It changed the planet. It was called Jesus Christ. I remember that.
Yeah, right? That guy who had like one of the highest impacts on Western civilization.
Witness, parable, testimony.
Mm-hmm.
It was voluntary persuasion.
Yeah.
You know, do I have to be my brother's keeper? Seriously? Do I have to go to Caesar and say, make him be his brother's keeper and use that spear thing? You know? Seriously.
You gotta pay taxes.
I would use that example all the time. I'm going, you know, for me, Christian meant to be Christ-like, which was libertarian, We had bumper stickers in the early 90s, you know, Jesus is libertarian.
Right.
Oh, they didn't like that. You know, small L, man. They were just, oh, hell no, because they wanted to be, we're a Christian nation. I go, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, most modern Christians
Jesus was
are
libertarian.
Pharisees.
Now what?
Right.
You're not allowed to say that.
Most
you know?
Modern Christians are Pharisees too, and they don't see it. It's like they get
rustled. Most libertarians are Pharisees.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Well, the Christians want, so many of them have been sucked into, you know, it's almost like they see war as their righteous crusade, and they're doing it again in the modern era, and they don't realize that they're advocating for it, and so they're cheering for war. So of course they're going to get uncomfortable when you try to basically say, "Hey, what about pray for your enemy? What about love your neighbor as yourself?" You know, that rubs against their, you know, go bomb people because national
I went
defense.
Through this. Charles Goyette and I went to a friend of mine who was a deacon at a local church and a good friend of mine. And there, I finally got my 3D thing fit. Oh, okay. The his whole thing, they were doing the just war doctrine that was a like a manual that went down in this faith-based initiative kind of BS,
right.
You know. So, yeah, we're going to give you some kind of, you know, help in this. And what you're going to do for us is take this book, get all your men folk together, and convince them we got to go kill some Muslims, all right? So Charles Goyette and I went in, and the whole thing was, it was a 6 or 16. It was some ridiculous amount of time that every week you went and you got lectured and preached to, and until it was done, you were not allowed to ask any questions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you the first problem, okay? So Charles and I sit there and go, well, you know, we're not, no, we don't want to, we're not going to ask it. And we're going, okay. I go, seriously, I mean, they're serious. You know, there's no question, there's no discussion.
Right.
You got to get indoctrinated, and then we're going, in the end, therefore, we must bomb somebody.
Uh-huh.
You know, this just war doctrine that we're just going to have a war. And this was done throughout, you know, the churches at the time. Well, Charles and I go, do you want to see this? I'll show you this. So we went, and it was like, are you freaking kidding me? And a lawyer, good friend of mine's home, and they just went at it. And oh, I'm man. Like, wow, how do you deal with that? You know, who are you up against? What's this philosophy? You know, religion, you say the most dangerous superstition is this worship of the state. Well, it's got to be a close second or something is, you know, up there of just this blind allegiance. I don't mind people having faith. You know, I got my own little whatever and it's mine and everybody can suck it. But I mean, you know, my whole thing is they want you to suspend everything else.
Yeah.
Logic. It's a doctrine that comes from the guy with a pointy hat or something.
Yeah. And it's only a slightly different version of the same thing, which is the belief in authority.
The church and state, they've always been butt buddies, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're locked. They're in a 69.
Right.
And they're clamped down.
Well,
okay?
I have a theory that basically it all comes down to anything that is force-backed ends up becoming statism. And I have this theory that anything that is, you know, call it a religion, call it any kind of movement that is anti-force, anti the use of force, and, you know, and something that is communicating love your neighbor as yourself is obviously anti-force, is a threat to the state. And so one of the things that they do to survive as the state and to keep going is to wear the label of any movement that they hate or that is anti them, and then subtly over time, you know, infiltrate it and sneak in the mindset of, well, yeah, this started as a movement that was about love and nonviolence, but gradually over time, we've now got these nonviolent people advocating for war. So the state wears the glove of whatever is the most popular movement or religion to stay alive. Otherwise, it would have totally died when Jesus. I think it could have died when Jesus showed up, just because it was that, you know, transformational. At
you
the
know,
time.
I give you an example. There was an activist. We had an email list that was probably, you know, where we really blossomed in the mid-90s, and it was called the AZRKBA, Right to Keep and Bear Arms. It was a Second Amendment thing. So, of course, there weren't a whole lot of Democrats on there, okay? So it was a NRA Republican thing with these freaking libertarians invading and giving them what for. And I remember one of the guys that was a real Second Amendment guy. He was secretary at some church in the East Valley. So at the bottom of his email, all his sig line, and every email, it said, the rebel Jesus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he had rebel and Jesus, man, they could not handle that. Now, of course, he was rebel as hell.
Right.
He's against the you know, this church or the synagogue or the state or the money changers out front and turning over tables, banking kind of man, you kind know, rendering to Caesar crucified. That which is right. Caesar's freaking this guy's picture on the money and, you know, it's not my money. You can do whatever. And God, you're playing in his sandbox. Well, guess what? It's his rules and yada, yada, yada. So he's being all libertarian. Well, when he said rebel Jesus, based on these rebellious acts, and you're not secretary anymore. You're kicked out. You're not allowed.
Surprise.
So this mentality is what you're up against.
Right, right.
So I'm going, there is a, what is the common ground that you're hoping or you're training people to find that, well, we shouldn't just go out and stomp the heads of baby seals and infants, you know, every day. I mean, you know, what some of these people are bad, man. I mean, what's the common ground you're trying to find?
Right. And, well, the bad ones I wouldn't even bother with. Like, we don't need the bad ones to change their minds, and they're not going to. We need the well-intentioned people who actually want peace and justice, but who have been indoctrinated into
authoritarianism.
Which
you think is the majority.
Yeah. Yeah. Easily a huge majority. And one of the main things is to not try to break their indoctrination with your own virtue, but to try to break their indoctrination with their virtue, basically to let their virtue out of the shell of authoritarian, violent garbage they've been taught. And that way they don't feel it as an attack on them. One of the main chunks of the thing is called the wedge, where you have to get them to see the difference between what they really believe in and what they've been taught. So it doesn't feel to them like you versus them. It's not two people arguing because, you know, why should they care what you think and what your opinion is? If you can show them that their own opinion clashes with itself, then they have less of a reason to get mad at you and more of a reason to start questioning things.
Yeah, get mad at their mom.
Right.
Their teacher, a coach,
their teachers,
or a boss.
And everyone else.
You know, well, what do you think? Who has the most influence? Is it family? You know, is it their church? Is it school? I mean, where do they get messed up to begin with?
It's sort of everybody, because what you're constantly surrounded by and constantly hearing decides what most people
ocean
believe.
Ocean of propaganda.
Yeah. But at the same time, there is also an ocean of propaganda of anarchism that isn't called that, and voluntarism that isn't called that, that they also have been fed and seen their whole lives in, again, from their family, from the media, from everywhere. So they're getting these two hugely contradictory messages from everywhere around them. And if you can, just by way of questions, lead them to see the contradiction between the two and then let them decide what to do about it. Like, okay, on the one hand, I believe, you know, live and let live and do unto others and all that fun stuff.
Play nice in the sandbox with the other kids. Don't hit. Don't steal.
Right. Everything I need is know I learned in kindergarten.
Right. Right.
From a non-status kindergarten teacher.
Right. And then they're just taught to believe that there's a bunch of exceptions for the thing called government. And if you just apply their
standards. But if you have a shiny badge.
Right.
And a uniform. Don't forget the uniform.
Right. Suddenly none of the rules apply and you can do whatever you want. But so they have both inside them. It's not a matter of they have a big collection of stupid ideas and you have to plant a collection of smart, noble ideas. They already have both inside them. You have to get to them to see the conflict and get them to choose. It's got to be one or
the
other.
You know, the reason, you know, one of the big reasons that I was so supportive of this project and help as much as I can financially and, you know, promote and fundraise and all this other stuff, was because I've seen it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it is, and I'm sure that's why you're doing it, because you saw it happen too. And it is an evolution. It'll go over, you'll run for office and say, you know, you got somebody's attention. Yeah, that libertarian guy. I came out smarter than when I went in, and it held up, and it's true, and, you know, these other guys are lying sacks of snot. Well, as county chair in the 90s, they would have us during election season in September. We would go to these various different schools, and we would, you know, the Republican, the Democrat, and the Libertarian representative of the county party of somebody, whatever. And the next year, they wouldn't invite the Republican or Democrat.
Uh-huh.
And the reason was because the kids, they were boring. They knew they were lying. The discussion was just, you know, what the hell? Right. Libertarian, man, that was cool. Let's do that. So then we go into like a private school like Brophy Prep, which is a big one down here, and have a week. Well, it'd be monetary system one day, the court system, anarchy, you know, we'd have, you know, all kinds of stuff. And given that perspective, I know if I had been exposed to that as a kid, you know, and I had this kind of, I'm like, oh, that's a foundational of, so when should it start? I'm encouraged by, you know, people before they even hit puberty. I mean, when you're talking junior high stuff, if you can get them then, so we have a project webpage called defendingarchimedes.com. Mm-hmm. Defending Archimedes, which is what? Defending the genius of the future. And it's not fixing them. It's not doing anything for them. I've talked to these genius guy, big 200 IQ kind of kick ass. And well, what did you need? What program? What camp? What's got to go? A beanbag chair and freaking leave me alone.
Right.
Give me a book. There's nobody going to teach me more than what I can just read myself. So, you know, get out of my way.
Right.
So I defend them from what? It's like River Tam and Firefly. It's just the state, the alliance wants you to be for them. I don't want a database of them. I don't want them to go into my special club. I don't want to know who they are. I just want them to be left alone in a decentralized environment that allows for that. When these kids are, they're just bombarded, their logic and reason knows that they're just being lied to. Mm-hmm. It is BS. And to the point of freaking suicide.
Right.
And you're just going, am I the only one? I'm so alone. The world is, what the hell? I'm in a video game that's broken, you know?
Yep.
So you're fixing the video game. You're having a good video game. You're having a logic and reason video game. And from the mirror, I see superheroes and characters coming out fighting the evil hordes of I got a joystick. Okay?
But yep. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, it's a matter of releasing people and freeing them from a lie. You don't have to make them into something. You don't have to talk them into something. You just have to unteach them one lie and then let them be.
It's a few. I'm sorry, man. The point I was making, I didn't get to make.
No, go ahead.
Is that over time, you know, it's 5 years later. So, and they go, hey, did you? It's like it's their idea. If you can clear their mind in the beginning.
Right.
If you do the George Carlin thing to where, no, they don't want critical thinkers.
Right.
You know, this education. No, it's doing exactly. It's working. It's doing what they want it to do.
Right.
So if you can, that's why at junior high, I want to, you know, early on, before they start to lock in their personality from, you know, the testosterone of, you know, I know everything. Before, I mean, as they're doing that, they start to, now that's why they have, we figured it out, 7th, 8th grade, what do? Civics, history, social studies, I'm just a bill, you know, this is how you protest, here's the movie of the ACLU says, and you don't talk, you know, whatever, and then you do it in the system, you know, there's none of this critical, just logic and reason kind of thing. Oh, hell no, we're not doing that one. This is where you come in. So the age bracket of this is towards what? I think the answer to that question, I'll let Amanda, you know, interject. I'm sorry, man, I interrupted. Go ahead.
What I was going to say is that one of the things that I think probably yourself, but definitely Larkin and I have experienced among, you know, people in the Liberty community is that so often, you know, they're sort of this, they have this mentality of, those people, they all want me dead and they're all just completely violent and I can't win any of them over. We're all totally screwed and the world is going to hell. And one of the things, you know, I will mention to them or point out is that, first of all, if you're charging in to tell someone that everything they've believed their whole life, everything they've been told is all wrong, and you're doing it in the format largely of being online, so you don't have body language, you don't have tone, and then you're combative almost immediately. First of all, what do you think people are going to do? They're going all their defenses are going to come up, and that you know, basically war mind indoctrination is going to come out of them. But it's amazing how if you change the approach of the person who loves liberty and how and you look at their approach, and then you take them and you go into the public and you're face to face with people, and you just have this relaxed, confident, conversational approach to it. You find out.
Then what would lawyers do?
Right, you find we wouldn't have them. You find out that these. You find out. Well, these people clearly have you know good intentions, because what do they often do when they think an anarchist is in the wrong? They accuse you of what? Not caring about the poor, not caring about the children. It's so obviously their intentions are we care about the children, we care about the poor,
but
it's been twisted, and their intentions have been twisted to teach them. Well, you only do good by force. You only do good by voting for someone else to steal from your neighbors. You only do good by, you know, I have to petition my congressman and this is how I do it. So this is going to help anarchists see how so many people around them absolutely are good intentioned. It's their approach to those people that's bringing out that warlike combativeness. It's actually the anarchists themselves that's making the anarchists think everyone's against them. It's because their approach isn't the right one. Because
they are against them for being jerks. You know? Exactly.
Right. Tact is something that's a little lacking in the community. But that's what we're trying to fix.
I'm glad you're doing it, because this is one thing that I emphasize, you know, these young people that are going back home for whatever, and I'm going, look, man, you don't have to be a jerk. It's not your goal, shouldn't be to divorce them.
Right.
You know,
right.
I don't know what Stefan's going on about, you know. I'm just like, that should be like a goal.
Right.
You know, I mean, you kind of lost. If you can't convince your family, well, I think we're screwed, man.
Right, right.
And that doesn't mean you got to agree with them or support their crap or any of that. Uh-huh. It's just like, if you divorce them, it's like, you cared that much? They're that bad that you got other things to do, right, man. And just
the closest people to you would turn a gun on you. We are seriously screwed. That's why I tell people we need these. The more people that are on your side, the freer you are. Why wouldn't you want to try to, speak amicably with them in a way that will open their minds so that they will actually listen to you? Don't shut them down and close yourself off. Then you do need to go get your prepping stuff and then be in your bunker, because you're surrounded by a bunch of people who do want to kill you.
Right, and you made it be that way.
Right, and it doesn't need to be
like
that way.
You made it. Okay, this is, and the reason I'm emphasizing this, and I wanted to help with this, because I see this coming. You know, this is the end is nigh, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm going, when I say the end is nigh, it's like a rebirth. That's why it's Freedom's Phoenix, the phoenix rising from the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch. That was the whole point of this. Yep. And I'm going, when does that happen? Well, this is how it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, it goes to crap, and they're like, hey, what's the solution? And Trump's going to be up there, me. And you're going to get, maybe not. You know, I vote something else. If I got to vote, I vote something else. So you go, what? Well, advocating for not doing that, not being inconsistent, not being a butthead, not being... What's the techniques? This is what this event is about.
Yeah.
And continuing it through your software thing.
Right. And it's all a numbers game. Like, we need enough people who no longer believe in statism, and that's really all we need. Like, the exact way that a particular empire falls or that statism in general falls, I don't particularly care about. When you get enough people who understand...
Public opinion.
Yeah. When you win public opinion, you get people to understand that political power is bogus and there's no such thing as political authority... You automatically win. I don't particularly care the details of how it goes down, but until you have that number of people, nothing else does it. Like, having a revolution doesn't work if people still believe in government. They just put up another one.
It's sort of like in every major change in history, there's a small group of people who sort of pave the way and change the landscape, and then everybody else suddenly finds themselves in a world where they have these better options. And it's going to be, I almost look forward to, you know, things getting really, really, the state just faltering and just collapsing, and the way that they try to control the economy going away. And yeah, there will be a bunch of people who have their own internal panic because of that, but it's going to be just this amazing opportunity for the innovators and the anarchists to swoop in and go, yeah, we can do this better. Look at all of the stuff we already got going on. Look at our currencies. Look at how, you know, look at our community groups. Look at how our mutual aid and how we're helping each other. And everybody's going to go, oh, wow, all these guys have been here the whole time preparing for this and setting up other alternative, you know, free market solutions, and they're right there for us
and
to go
Negan
after.
Shows up with his barbed wire baseball bat and beats the crap out of me, giving my cut. Damn it.
See, we need enough people to not go along with that.
Yeah, see, that's it, you know, and that's what it and that's what I think they're afraid of. They have to consolidate you under one yoke. Uh-huh. You know, they got to combine the tribes of Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. Finally. It'll work this time. I mean,
this,
you know,
time for sure.
So this is you haven't seen this yet. You know, we still making progress on the site. We're turning on, you know, different stuff within soon. I'm like, you know, I wanted to have it by now, but we're still working on different things. And one of the things is we have it's just software. It's a shop. That's the only thing that we're waiting on, and being able to move the stories around. But the site's pretty done. Well, we have what would be a good launch day? What day we're going to have, get done by, and that we can really start launching it and on the banner ads all over the internet and promotion and the radio ads and kind of rock and roll. June 14th is Flag Day. Black flags matter.
Perfect.
That could be. Yeah, we could do it that, or maybe
Flag Day.
Flag Day. Black flags matter. But anyway, we got the first letter of Captain Mark out, and you go to piratswithoutborders.com. I want to read this. You know, blah, 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 the state this, the state lies, you can't trust the state. And then he goes in and goes, I am no revolutionary. I have no desire to reform your system or run it my way. If you want your servile life, keep it. But know that the crown can never be trusted to abide by its founding charters, nor to keep its treaties, nor even to play by its own rules. Put simply, the crown cannot be trusted. That's why I raised my black banner, why I'm opting out. The folly of revolutions is that they only reset the cycle of violence. My aim is to break that cycle and abandon the madness of expecting different results. My aim is an evolved society of individuals invisible to the crown, and evolution requires viable mutation, not a new hierarchy, but new modes of horizontal innovation. So it's not a revolution thing.
Abolition.
Right. Exactly. I don't want to take over. I don't want to be in charge of the marble statues. You know, I don't give a crap. I just want to keep your bootlicking whatever and hand it feed you. I don't care. I'm just opting out.
Right.
Build the ship.
And
build the ship.
When everybody opts out and steps away, that's the end.
You don't need to do anything else.
If we're busy building, then when the other, you know, when the crappy thing collapses, everybody's going to turn and look and go, oh, something's already been built.
Oh, let's do that instead.
let's move over.
Oh, this is my new word picture. You'll like this. I'm like, I'm going, God, what's it like? I know what it's like. It's like you're driving down the highway out here in the desert, and, you know, it's open vistas and mountain range down the valley, and you're just kind of sun setting behind you. You look in the rearview mirror, and there's the little woo-wah car with the lights on coming out. Woo-wah, woo-wah, woo. You know, and they got the little VW bug, you know, they're going to kick my butt. And I see him in the distance, and I just, you know, and you just blazing, going plaid down the road towards the future, and they slip over the horizon. You forgot they were ever even there.
Yep.
The state is just the woo-wah car slipping over the horizon in your rearview mirror.
Yep.
And if you go fast enough, and if you're forward-thinking enough, and you keep, you know, what we're doing, they can never catch up. They just can't. Yep. They try and put a roadblock in front of you, you fly over it. They want it, you know, they'll build a wall. That's all right, we'll get over it. I mean, you know, and the ability to replicate and talk about and educate and make other teachers of this and sharing it is a important, crucial point, you know, that we can't ignore, which is what Larkin is doing. Mm-hmm. And this is a manifestation of you get to go out and actually touchy-feely flesh of them.
Yep. This was actually born in Acapulco this year because Shepherd Humphreys said, Larkin, I want to do a little side seminar thing where you know, talk for a little while and we have people, you know, throw in like $20 at the door or something, and I'm just going to throw it together. And it wasn't even officially affiliated with Anarchapulco, but everybody there knew about it, and we tried to let people know. And even though it was a little off the cuff and it wasn't something that was, you know, heavily broadcasted or anything, it did really well, and that was titled The Psychology of Statism, and it was the little the little seed beginning of the idea for Candles in the Dark. And it did so well that, you know, you and I are in the back of the cab in Acapulco, and we're riding around, and I said, wow, that did really well. I mean, people came in for that, and not even a lot of people knew about it, and yet quite a few people kept showing up. They were happy to pay for it to sit there and learn, and then this amazing discussion happened, and people really got a lot from it, and it was incredibly, incredibly productive discourse among a huge group of people at the end when you did the question and answer session. And so I said, you know, this would be really, really, really useful for the Liberty community. This is so needed because so many people get 2 + 2 = 4, but then they don't understand. You just can't go out and beat people over the head with 2 + 2 = 4. That's not how it works. And, you know, so I said, why don't we just try to create something that's a little more robust and more thorough? Because that was just a little taste of it. And see if we can't do this a few times a year.
How long was that event when you guys did that? How long did that go?
What? 2 hours.
Yeah, the talk was 40 minutes and the discussion was 2 hours.
Yeah, the discussion part ended up being more interesting than that.
Two days.
I know,
of libertarians discussing anarchists, anarcho-capitalists, leave me alonist, whatever you want to call them. 2 days of how many libertarians can dance on the head of a pin?
But it's like,
I must know this.
Well, it is. It's more just 2 days of how not to bludgeon people with anarchy, how to invite them to it, and it's a whole different approach. And again, the goal isn't here's how to win every argument and here's how to turn them into an anarchist the first time you speak to someone. It's actually not the goal at all.
Yeah, we need like the Southwest Airlines slogan as opposed to like say United. like Southwest is, we beat the competition, not you, you know. So if you can do that and provide this opportunity, you know, it's effective. And that's right. And I remember, we were talking for something, right after you got up and you right off the bat, oop, we're going to do it. Maybe we'll come to Phoenix. We'll get some. Let's do it. Let's do it. I go, all right. I can help you get a place. What do you need? Well, it would be better if we had access to our own halls. In our own kind of, I'm wondering, if there are places
like the Greek
like
Collegia
that.
Almost, or just a big meeting place for everybody to show up.
Exactly. I mean, there should be, regular discussions. There are places like that, and it starts, and they used to call it First Fridays. I mean, you'd have just anything goes, and whoever set up, and I got a guitar or whatever, and downtown. And it supported the art district. They wanted to build this community kind of thing, and they got it going. And then they go, nope, no more. Got to have a license permit. We just subsidized and built this
status.
Full status. You're next to the light rail of you getting rats packed in cages. I mean, no parking. And it's all good because we got people downtown to do it. Now you want to move down here and live, and it's all subsidized and you're rats in cages. And I'm going, this is not – they. Anytime you have an open forum – it doesn't really work because there's somebody with a badge saying what you can and can't do.
The state wants to show up every time. If it's on their public, the city property, somebody shows up eventually and goes, you can't do this here.
Well, I mean, do we have our private? I mean, we do a lot of stuff here. I mean, you'll see we'll have parties and so on. But we do the Breakfast Club. That's kind of small. Going to be places. There's going to be something. We may have an amphitheater if there's an event, twice a year of a big whatever the heck, and it doesn't cost a bunch of money, and people just go, and then the helicopters come in and the gunships and hellfire missiles and whatever. Well, but when you do it online, what you're doing, you don't have any of that.
Right.
There may be a gathering. People want to bring in their pirate ships to go to the cove of we're partying, but, it's only after they already know why they're there.
Right.
It's just a party, and that's what Jackalope is. Jackalope is not indoctrination of you get to kind of somebody. And that's right. You spoke 1 year.
Yep.
You came there. That was cool.
There's
no fuss. It's just, there's a stage and some lights, and somebody's got a microphone. Okay, I guess we'll do this here.
Right, right.
Well, who has access to that stage? Who gets to have a night? I don't know. I guess.
I didn't even know I was speaking there.
Jackalope
like
is actually the
minutes.
Most anarchist. It's almost the most it's actually the most functionally anarchist festival I've been to, just in that even among
because
the actual
nobody's
anarchists,
in charge.
Nobody is all the way. It's so funny how even libertarians and anarchists are so used to dealing with a state world and centralization.
Right.
They'll go to like Alma Summer and they'll go to people that they know attend or that put together the Facebook event page, and they'll assume that there's some sort of deciding authority, and they'll go, well, am I allowed to sell my stuff there? And Alma's like, can you bring your stuff?
Whom?
Bring your stuff. Well, where do I set it up? Wherever you want to set it up. It's just
she's trying to tell you. This goes here, and this in the Forest Service says.
It's just the woods.
A little too organized.
Just show up, bring your stuff, you can sell it. We're just in the woods. You really can do whatever you want here.
Which they do, and here comes the rave this last year, man. It was till 6 in the morning.
That went all night. I did not sleep.
And it was like a test. I go, who the heck was that? Oh, it's Sean Dean. I guarantee there's a thing behind this, So the people that came and visited from Las Vegas, they're telling all their guys, are you kidding, man? It was a rave. Freaking, we're partying. Woohoo! Vegas lights, be damned. They're called stars. We're rock and roll and whatnot. Or whatever the hell boom, boom, boom is. But and it wasn't really that loud when you were there. If you're there, you get the feeling of the boom, 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 boom.
Right.
That's their, how much ecstasy can I do and whatever. So
I remember waking up at 6 a.m. and going, the sound is still there.
Pull away from the mic a little bit on that one. Yeah. What happened was the next day, I can't believe it. God, Ernie, who the hell's Ernie, man? What are you talking? Ernie's dead, all right? Ernie's gone. Ernie didn't make it. I don't know what, Ernie. Well, I go, I don't remember being hired as sheriff. I sure as hell didn't get paid, you know. You guys are going to have to work it out. So the Saturday afternoon at 1:30, everybody finally got up from the rave. We had a gathering, and we talked about it. And I'm going to think about it. What are you guys advocating? We're going to call the park ranger? Do we own this forest? Right. Oh, and not that he brought it up, but I thought it was interesting. Sean Dean is Native American. Lived up in this area. White man, get off my land. I go, what, you own it? What, the park service? Hell, we even checked, you know, Alma checked the thing. You know, it's kind of amorphous who even owns that thing. It was private homestead that went to kind of, it's not on the records of it. Yeah, you guys want to press this? We'll see where this goes. And they're like, yeah, never mind. So this is, you know, all very interesting things that only in an anarchist setting can you even have the questions.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Because, you know, how, you know, tragedy of the commons, that because you don't own it. Right. You know, get over it. You want to have it? Then, so Adam, you know, here's Adam Kokesh, got his, you know, ranch, farm, whatever thing up there. It's farm now, okay? But anyway, so he goes, he says, well, we can just do it here. Well, but that's your private property, and you get to make the rules. Yes, I do.
Right.
I don't want, we need no rules of government to kind of sort of almost rule making them. These are how many libertarians can dance on the head of a pin questions.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of stuff we need to talk about. This is the kind of stuff we will talk about tomorrow at Candles in the Dark, because these are exactly what happens because you know you're the guy. I give you a perfect example. Here's a really good example. A close friend of ours, he's telling me, he goes, you know, one of the t-shirts that we had, it was something, taxation is theft. Okay, a simple one like that. She goes to school. Oh, they know. Hell no. You're so, you know, we don't like that one because it's very clear, true, and, you know, and succinct. And that just, so therefore, it must be disallowed, you know.
Right.
So they're, she's browbeaten. She's, I don't know, sixth, seventh grade or something. So what's that, 11, 12, you know, wearing the shirt. And they're just going after taxation. That was taxation. Well, she didn't have the rhetoric and the skills to defend it. I mean, for her, it's, well, yeah, because you're like putting a gun to my head and taking it, right?
Right.
Theft. You know, so she didn't have the confidence or the experience as a young girl to be able to defend this.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, who do you blame? It's nobody's blame. It's just that, you know, blame her for don't wear shirts that you can't defend. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. But the this class, this seminar, this orientation, whatever you want to call it, is for that kind of interaction.
Yeah.
When somebody, you want to make a statement, well, then you better be able to back it up and have a little bit of rhetoric. And the shorter it is, the better. Freedom's the answer. What's the question?
Mm-hmm.
Freedom good, government bad. You know, blah, 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 blah. You know, give me a bumper sticker, and then you can defend that, you know?
And we need more and more and more people doing that. Like what I've been saying recently is to the people who say, oh, I want to find more anarchists in my area to meet with. There's a, well, if you can't find them, make them. Like, learn to talk to other people in a way that actually effectively communicates what you believe so that a bunch of them will go, oh, now we understand and believe that too.
I'm surprised how effective and what a great conversation starter having shoe polish writing all over my windows has been. The back of my car says taxation is theft and huge shoe polish writing. And then on the sides, it says nobody for president and govern yourself. I was in the drive through at Chick-fil-A and I was picking up food for someone else. And the worker comes right out of Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
He's like 20 years old, maybe at the oldest. And he comes up and he says, your car says govern yourself. I'm just curious, ma'am. You know, what is the message you're trying to convey?
And your phone number. And
you know? And I said to him, I was very succinct. He said, what's the message you're trying to convey? And I said, well, I said, I believe in peace and freedom, and I want to be left alone, and I want to other people to be left alone. And I said, and government is fundamentally based on coercion. Everything they do is based on force. And so I don't want any form of government. And he said, yeah, I can get behind that. And so I drive through and I pull up to the window to pay and I'm about to leave. And he appears in the window next to the guy that's already there. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I was just telling this guy about what you said. And he goes, I feel like I've really felt this way a long time, but I didn't have the words to articulate it. So thank you for giving me the words, because now I understand.
You know, just to, if you can't say it in a bumper sticker, you're just rambling. You know, I mean, you might want to defend the bumper sticker, and you might want to say why the bumper sticker, the history of the bumper sticker. You know, like, you go around, I drive on the church parking lot with a bumper sticker that says Jesus is libertarian, you know, that's a conversation starter, you know,
oh, yeah.
Until they know attorney, they go, Now I already know where that goes. You know, maybe not. But it was during that Christian nation thing. You know, we're a Christian nation. Uh-huh. Really? Fine. He's libertarian. Now what? You know, he's witness, parable, testimony, voluntary persuasion. He wasn't, you know, take, you know, Caesar's legions and go kick ass.
Right.
So, and but that's why they had to do this just war doctrine thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to, you know, bamboozle people. But if they're inoculated, this is what I've been looking for. And people listening to the show know, I go through waves of me rambling on about this, is that we need to inoculate the next generation from this crap.
Yep.
They need to be inoculated. The inoculation can come from you, you know, as friend, parent, relative, whatever, you know, these young people. But there's some little inoculation that needs to go into their brain that when somebody puts a gun to your head, no matter if they got a fine hat, uniform, badge, gun, what, you know, they put a gun to your head, going to make you do something, it's probably they're the bad guys.
Right.
And yeah, as long as you're not bothering anybody. And that's where this, you know, the vaccine issue comes up. They go, we had the vaccine education summit, and they come through and they go, well, how did you know? You stopped vaccinating your children, your grandchildren aren't vaccinated. How did, what did you, what scientific paper did you read?
Uh-huh.
And I go, well, I'm libertarian. And they go, what the hell does that have to do with it? I go, because if you got to mandate something by a government mandate, a project, you already know it's bad.
Right.
Because if it was good, they wouldn't have needed to mandate it. It'd be a free market to give me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, no, because I'm libertarian.
Mm-hmm.
That understanding of the world, coercion is bad, is an insulation. It is an inoculation. It is an understanding. It's a warning light. It's a sign. It's a stop sign. It is like, hell no, there's something to see here. How do you articulate that? How do you share that? How do you remain a respected family member? It's not, you're always, you don't want to be that one guy that learns something. It's like they go to college to do that, and they come back and tell their parents how wrong they are,
right,
you know? And they're like, man, get a job, and then tell me when, you know, you right, think you know something.
Right.
But the, so I want to, you know, end this, and we can talk about whatever you want, but I wanted to, on this particular point, people need to go to this, and they're going to come out better for it because they're going to, what? What does the $115 get them other than a tasty meal, you know, at lunch on Saturday?
They're going to, they're going to know how to say things that other people actually hear. And most anarchists probably don't think that's possible because they've tried it the only way they know, and it didn't work the vast majority of the time. It is possible, and this will show them how to do it a lot more successfully, a lot more
and
often.
Their mindset will be different, because a lot of this is while you are going to offer specific lines of questioning and techniques, one of the things we're both going to stress is that this is more about changing your mindset and your approach to them, and so everything else will follow.
A part of this, Amanda? I mean, how much time, did, what role does she play in doing this?
She does introductions to all, I can't even count how many segments. There's six
other sessions
than the question
or so,
things at the
five
end.
Five or six and, sessions.
Yeah. And she helps me with the putting things together and proofreading stuff and
content and stuff. Like, he'll bounce ideas off of me. So a lot of stuff I don't necessarily take credit for it, but a lot of what ends up being the final product, I had a lot of influence on.
Speaking of which, we have to get back so I can finish the notebooks and make you proofread them.
Yeah.
So we can go print a million of them.
Always working to the very last minute.
Yep,
right. Yeah, no, thanks for spending the extra time. People got a lot to look forward to. You know, tomorrow it's $115 for both days. We could do, you know, day passes. I guess they're like, I just decided that, you know, $60.
You want to go a day? It'll make less sense if you only do one day because it's one coherent program, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I just want your money. You know, I mean, it's all right. And then don't be a distraction. But, you know, it's going to be, there's going to be, I'm hoping that we can, now he doesn't want a videotape. It's right, not going to go out. It's not going to be streamed. It's not going to, we had guys ready to do it. Man, let's do it. And he goes, nope. No.
That would kill it, and we want people to show up because the experience of learning this is important, and in it, getting it in the interaction in person is really, really important, though.
Yeah, and I want them to keep happening. I mean, in the day of digital stuff, if you're doing something live, that's kind of, you know, for a band, that's kind of all you have. If you release an album, the whole world copies it for free, and you have nothing.
Yep.
All right, well, this is, you know, how he's doing it, and we're welcome, we're encouraged to help, and we'll see you tomorrow. And then, of course, tomorrow night, those of you that couldn't make it to that, and you know who you are, you know, if you're listening, you want to come, it's 6 o'clock, we'll get kind of sort of almost pretend like starting and go until, you know, probably 10:30. I want to be done not too late. But party tomorrow night. You want to hang out with Larkin, say yo, what's up? That'd be the time to do it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.